This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Thank you for joining me. We begin with information, articles, and announcements for the town of Auburn. There will be a select board meeting on Monday, July 20th, 2026, beginning at 5:30 p.m. If you're able to attend in person, this meeting will be held at Camp Gleason, 261 Central Street in Auburn, or if you prefer to participate remotely, you may call 872-240-3212 and then enter access code 166-009-269. Once again, that select board meeting will be held on Monday, July 20th, starting at 5:30 p.m. The agenda for this meeting, it is a joint meeting with the select board, finance committee, and school committee. They'll call the meeting to order at 5:30 and recording announcements. Finance committee will then present item 2, and then item 3, school committee, and then item 4, pledge of allegiance. Item 5, joint meeting to discuss goals and objectives for special town meeting. Item 6, finance committee adjournment. Item 7, school committee adjournment. And item 8, public comments. Item 9, community organizations. Item 10, presentations and public hearings. Public hearing, board vote on change of officers for AMF Bowling Centers, Inc., also known as Bolero Auburn, located at 101 Southbridge Street in Auburn. Item 10B, public hearing, board vote on Carnival Amusement Park license for the Cirque Entertainment LLC, also known as Cirque Entertainment, for a carnival located at 385 Southbridge Street in Auburn on July 24th through July 27th. And item 10C, public hearing, board vote on outdoor entertainment license for Cirque Entertainment, also known as Paranormal Cirque, for an event located at 385 Southbridge Street in Auburn. Item 11 on the agenda, departmental items, including town clerk, board signing of the warrant for the September 1st, 2026 primary election. Item B, police board vote to file a COPS hiring program, known as CHP grant, for $375,000. Item C, DPW, board vote to accept FEMA HMGP grant for $125,686.67 with a local match of $41,895.56. And finally, under agenda item 11, DPW update on roadway improvements. Item 12, communications, informational communications from the EOHLC, standing for Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities, stating the town is in full compliance with the MBTA Communities Act as voted by the town meeting on October 28, 2025. Also under communications, informational communication from town clerk's office about dates and times of special primary. Item 13 on the is select board general items, which will include proclamations and recognitions, gift acceptances in accordance with Mass General Law, Chapter 44, including $1,200 from Polar Beverages to DPW for summer concerts in the park. Also $2,500 from Bank Hometown to DPW for Independence Day celebration. Item C under Agenda 13, Board Vote on Drain Layer License for CIF Excavation located at 9 Goldsmith Street in Littleton, Massachusetts. Item D, Board Vote on Drain Layer License from We Construction Group, also located at 175 Main Street in North Reading. Item E, Board Vote on Drain Layer License from Duke Scapes, located at 33 Douglas Road in Webster. Item F, Board Vote on One-Day Beer and Wine License for Century Sportsman Club, located at 531 Rochdale Street in Auburn. Item G, Board Vote on Change of Ownership for 746 Southbridge Street in Auburn from Team Car Care East to National Retail Properties. Item H, Board Vote to reappoint election workers to one-year terms starting on September 1, 2026 and expiring on August 31st, 2027. Item I, Town Manager's Evaluation. Item 14 on the agenda, Town Manager Items. Item 15, Tabled Items. 16, Member Items. 17, Public Comments. And 18, Approval of Minutes from June 8th, June 22nd, and June 25th of 2026. And finally, Adjournment. This submitted by Todd Corain, Select Board Vice Chair. In addition to the Board of Selectmen Finance School Committee meetings on Monday, July 20th, also the Zoning Board Bylaw Review Committee will meet at 6 p.m. at Conference Room 1 in town. July 21st, Planning Board Special Meeting, starting at 7 p.m. in the Select Board Room at Town Hall. On Wednesday, July 22nd, Board of Health Meeting, 6 p.m. in the Select Board Room at Town Hall. And also on Wednesday, July 22nd, Conservation Commission, 7 p.m. in Conference Room 1, also at Town Hall. Are subject to change. A live calendar can be found at auburnma.gov or call 508-832-7720 with any questions. Our next announcement from the Town of Auburn, dated July 16th, the Zoning Bylaw Review Committee has two openings. The mission of the Zoning Bylaw Review Committee is to review the town's current zoning bylaw and make recommendations to the Planning Board for revisions, amendments, and new bylaws which the committee and town administration identify as pertinent. The committee will work with the following to continuously submit amendments and or draft bylaw proposals for town meeting consideration. Planning Board, Select Board, Town Administration, Town Manager, and Planner. There are two openings, one expiring on June 30th, 2028, the other expiring on June 30th, 2029. For more information and to apply, please call 508-832-7720. Our next item from the Town of Auburn, dated July 16th, the Economic Development Committee has one opening. The mission of the Economic Development Committee is to make recommendations to the town manager on strategies for stimulating economic development in Auburn. This includes developing recommendations for strategies to attract new business, to encourage business expansion, and to retain existing businesses with a goal of increasing Auburn's commercial and industrial base, redeveloping underutilized and vacant properties, creating jobs and creating an environment conducive to business development. Objective to include assisting the town administration develop inventory of vacant underutilized properties, identify available programs, services, and resources in the region for business development, create collateral materials for use in business development activities, and develop strategies to address issues and concerns identified by local businesses, including input from the Business Roundtable. The Economic Development Committee is an advisory group. There is one position that will expire on June 30th, 2027. For more information and to apply, please call 508-832-7720. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn, dated July 15th. Test your knowledge. How much do you know about recycling? Whether you know your stuff or not, you can always learn more. Test your knowledge by taking a fun, interactive recycling quiz. Share your scores in the comments and become a recycling expert. One question, how much do you know about recycling? You're a pro or not a lot. So for further details, please call the Solid Waste and Recycling Coordinator for the Town of Auburn with any questions at 508-832-7703. Next announcement from the Town of Auburn's Board of Health. This is a reminder from the Auburn Board of Health that mosquitoes can carry and spread disease that can make you sick. When you are outside this summertime, please use mosquito repellents with an EPA-registered active ingredient, and, if possible, avoid peak mosquito activity at dusk and at dawn. Next announcement from the Town of Auburn, cart collection checklist. Note, we have a new service provider, Republic Services, who is establishing their route through town. Your collection time may vary. To ensure collection, please follow this checklist. Send your recycling and trash carts on the curb by 7 a.m. If carts are not curbside by 7 a.m., then the drivers may miss your collection. Wait until the end of the day before reporting your collection as missed. The drivers may not have gotten to your house yet and need till the end of the day to make their route. While collection times may vary, carts must be curbside by 7 a.m. to ensure collection. Please allow drivers to complete the route and report misses to the Board of Health at the end of the day. Call the Board of Health with any questions at 508-832-7703. Next announcement from the Town of Auburn concerning recycling. Nearly 50% of Massachusetts residents mistakenly believe plastic bags can go in the recycling bin. Recycle smart and keep yourself aware of what can and can't go into your recycling bin. Contact the Solid Waste and Recycling Coordinator for Auburn with any questions at 508-832-7703. The following announcement is from the Auburn Youth and Family Services and the Auburn Police Department. Back to School Supply Drive. From July 10th to August 15th, 2026, to support Auburn Youth and Family Services. Donations needed include backpacks, pencil pouches, pens, pencils, highlighters, colored pencils, crayons, markers, dry erase markers, notebooks, folders, 1 inch to 1 1/2 by inch binders, black Sharpies, stylus, gift cards are also very much appreciated. Want us to shop for you? Well, they would more than happy to accept gift cards to do that shopping. Drop-off locations will include the Auburn Police Department lobby throughout the duration of the drive and Auburn Summer Send-Off at Lemansky Park on August 11th. Please call School Resource Officer Jonathan O'Brien or Lieutenant Stephanie Hayward at the Auburn Police Department at 508-832-7777. Following programs and announcements are from the Auburn Senior Center located at 4 Goddard Drive in Auburn. Call 508-832-7799. Their hours are Monday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Following are the rest of the programs for the month of July, beginning with Grief and Loss Support Group on Tuesday, July 21st. Please join us as we all navigate together this new normal through compassion, caring, and connections. We will learn about the 5 stages of grief and look at ways we can use coping skills and outside support to guide us through the process. This will be a monthly support group. We hope that you will join us. Light refreshments will be served. This is at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, July 21st. To reserve, contact the center at 508-832-7799. This program will be facilitated by Melinda Veron of the Salmon Home Care Organization. Then on Wednesday, July 22nd at 1 p.m., fluoride, what you should know. Fluoride is one of the most debated chemicals in modern public health. Some health organizations say it helps prevent tooth decay, while critics argue that too much fluoride exposure may carry risks. Whether you support water fluoridation or question it, understanding where fluoride comes from and how it affects the body is important. What do you need to know about fluoride? Do you care about this toxic chemical? In what foods or drinks is it in? What are the limits? What are the side effects? Dr. Harvey Clamart will provide a comprehensive overview and explain everything you need to know. That's on Wednesday, July 22nd at 1 p.m. at the Auburn Senior Center, 508-832-7799 for a reservation. And the final program for the month of July, Northbridge Coin and Gold, buying and selling coins and currency, gold and silver, tokens and metals, diamonds and watches, trading cards, sports and entertainment, memorabilia, comics, video games, toys. This on Tuesday, July 28th at the Senior Center, beginning at noon and lasting until 3:10 p.m. and by appointment only. Therefore, call Mike McDonald at 508-832-7799. That's the Northbridge Coin and Gold Show on Tuesday, July 28th, beginning at noon until 3:10 p.m. Contact Mike McDonald, the appraiser, at 508-832-7799. Lunch is served daily at the Auburn Senior Center on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Lunch is served at noon. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. If you'd like to join us for lunch, please make your reservation at least 2 days in advance of the meal. If you cannot keep your reservation, please call to cancel. A $3 donation is suggested. Contact 508-832-7799 to reserve your spot for lunch any day. The menu for the coming week, starting on Wednesday, July 22nd, lunch will include Sloppy Joe, herbed potatoes, mixed vegetables, and fresh fruit. On Thursday, July 23rd, chicken cacciatore, gemelli pasta with broccoli, birthday cake, and on Friday, July 24th, fish with crumb topping, rice pilaf, country blend vegetables, and on Monday, July 27th, garlic herbed chicken, herb stuffing, spinach, tapioca pudding, and on Tuesday, July 28th, spaghetti and meatballs with marinara sauce, green beans, and blueberry crisp. On Wednesday, July 29th, beef stir-fries, steamed rice, peas and onions, and brownie. On Thursday, July 30th, honey mustard pork, seasoned potatoes, carrots, peaches. And finally, on Friday, July 31st, the last day of the month, chicken cranberry salad, pasta salad, three bean salad, all served with fresh fruit. Transportation Services, the Auburn Senior Center, and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, known as the WRTA, offer shared ride transportation for Auburn residents age 60 and older, individuals with disabilities, all ages. The van provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the WRTA at 508-752-9283. The following article is from the July 14, 2026 edition of the Worcester Telegram Gazette, headlined Probation for Auburn Police Officer Who Sought Sex with a 15-year-old. A former Auburn police officer pleaded guilty to agreeing to pay for sex with a girl he believed to be 15, who was actually an undercover officer working in a sting operation. Dominic Bachetto, age 32, was sentenced to 3 years of probation in Berkshire County Superior Court on June 17. The probation supervision was later transferred to the Worcester County Superior Court. "That's not a mistake you can come back from," said Auburn Police Chief Scott Mills in an interview with the Telegram Gazette, adding that he believed Bruschetto unfit to serve in law enforcement. Bruschetto served as an officer in the Auburn Police Department for 2 years before he was arrested at the station in April 2025. He resigned 2 months later. The arrest came after Bruschetto was caught in a sting operation where officers in the Berkshire County Task Force posed online as 14 and 15-year-olds seeking sex. 9 other men were arrested in the sting. Bruschetto resigned from the department June 11, 2025, days before he was slotted for a job status hearing, where then Chief Todd Lemon intended to dismiss him, according to Mills. Bruschetto pleaded guilty to agreeing to pay an undercover officer posing as a 15-year-old girl $200 for sex during a brief phone conversation on April 12, 2025. Bruschetto had finished his day shift as an officer just hours earlier, according to police. He later texted with the undercover officer where the two spoke about the girl's age, according to the court documents. Among the conditions of probation, he must agree to computer searches and provide passwords to probation officers. He was initially charged in Southern Berkshire District Court in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, on April 15, 2025, and indicted a month later in the Berkshire County Superior Court in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, on one count of agreeing to engage in sexual contact with a minor for a fee. He was not indicted on a second charge of enticing a child under 16. During his arraignment in district court, prosecutors said Bruschetto had admitted to similar behavior in the past, in some cases following through with an exchange of sex for money. The State Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission, known as POST, suspended Bruschetto's license the day after charges were filed, and the police department immediately opened an internal investigation. The commission oversees certification for officers in Massachusetts. Bruschetto was on paid leave, which Mills said is standard procedure until he submitted his resignation. Mills expects the disciplinary agency to permanently revoke Bruschetto's certification. The chief said the affair has been embarrassing for the department, but not reflective of its values. "It's disappointing, to say the least, but we've hired eight or new police officers since then and are looking forward to moving past this," Mills said. The following article is from the July 17, 2026 edition of the Auburn News, entitled Revolutionary Soldier and a Camp by Helen Poirier of the Auburn Historical Society. When driving through Auburn west on Route 20, going over Eddy Pond, one can see a building with a beach. That building is the newly renovated Camp Gleason, which is accessed off Central Street. In the past, Camp Gleason has not only been used swimming, but for many different organization meetings, parties, and VFW post events, churches, for fireside services, picnics, wedding receptions, and more. The Gleason name does have a history with the town of Auburn, going back to when it was the South Parish of Worcester. Deacon David Gleason was a descendant of the Watertown Gleasons, who originally came from England, according to the David Gleason in North America Family Histories from 1500 to 2000. Thomas first moved to Charlestown in December 1658, where he leased from Captain Scarlett a portion of the Squaw Sachem lands. In 1639, Squaw Sachem deeded her land in what is now known as Medford, Massachusetts, to the city or the town of Charlestown. She kept some of the land on the west side of Mystic Pond. When she died, she bequeathed all her land to Governor John Winthrop and Edward Gibbons. Gibbons got possession of the land on the west side of Mystic Pond and was the land he leased to Thomas Gleason. There was a question of ownership after the lease was signed, and it kept Thomas Gleason in litigation until he died. Thomas Gleason II was born in England around 1737. He settled in Sudbury on 40 acres of land bought from Benjamin and Mary Rice that was between Beaver Dam Brook, Gleason's Pond, and Gleason Hill in Framingham. The pond was named after Thomas Gleason Sr., and for four generations of his descendants that lived on its border. It is still known as Gleason Pond to this day. Thomas III was born in Sherborne in 1671. He moved to Oxford about 1723 and deeded his home in Framingham to his son, Thomas, who sold it to Jacob Cummings. Thomas III was one of the founders and signers of the covenant of the church in Oxford and was one of the directors from 1723 to 1726. He gave his son, Thomas IV, a 40-acre home lot in Oxford Village and various other parcels of land lying in the Great Cedar Swamp in Oxford, Massachusetts. Thomas Gleason was born in Framingham, but moved to Oxford sometime in 1715. In 1739, Lieutenant Thomas Gleason was chosen by the town of Oxford as a gamekeeper to prosecute those who illegally killed deer. On December 31, 1775, he was dismissed from the Oxford Church to be part of a new church in the South Parish of Worcester, of which he was a pewholder. The tax records of 1771 show Thomas paying £18 for real estate. Personal property was £5. 14 pence. He lived to an old age and died in the house of his son-in-law, Joshua Merriam, in North Gore, Oxford. Thomas was born in 1721, that's Thomas V, in Thomas V, in Oxford, where he lived until the land was included in the forming of the South Parish of Worcester in 1773. He married Susan Savannah Putnam of Sutton in 1746. They had five children, the oldest being David. Throughout the process of creating the South Parish of Worcester, the names of David Gleason and his father Thomas appear in minutes of meetings and letters of correspondence. Both Thomas and David Gleason were listed as privates from South Parish, taking part in the Revolutionary War. In the Massachusetts soldiers and sailors who fought in the Revolutionary War, David Gleason was with Worcester Matros Captain James Swan's 1st Company, Colonel Craft's regiment. After the war, David continued giving service to the town by being a part of the commissioned school squadron leader, assessor, constable, and thaifeng man between 1779 and 1786. Camp Cleason only goes back to American Steel and Wire, who created this recreational center in the 1940s for its employees. Following information, announcements, and articles are for the town of Grafton. We begin with our first article from the Grafton News, dated July 16, 2026. Planning Board examines data center potential bylaw changes. Fall town meeting agenda items on the horizon. The Grafton Planning Board met with the Select Board at its July 7th meeting to discuss actions regarding potential data centers in the town of Grafton. Planning Board Chair Gregory Dolly Mole asked the town's Director of Planning and Community Development, Christian D'Amelia, to summarize the current situation regarding Grafton's bylaws. D'Amelia first scoped out where data centers might currently be able to build in town and noted that currently some towns in Massachusetts have addressed the zoning issue for data centers while others have a moratorium while they consider how to address it. One issue that D'Amelia mentioned was the state's response. The state paused their tax incentive program, making building large-scale data centers much less competitive in Massachusetts, D'Amelia said. Areas of Grafton where data centers could potentially be built, D'Amelia said, currently included the town's light industrial or business zones. Dalimoli added that village mixed-use zones were also potential areas where such buildings might be allowed. The issue, however, is more complex. Members of both boards raised numerous issues. The town's need for tax income from such businesses, potential height and noise concerns, whether some districts were a potential data center might seek to build were requiring special permits. How energy and water needs would be governed, and most important, how the town's current bylaws could be used to site a data center in town right now. While the last will require an in-depth review by the planning board, one way to give the town time to be thorough was potential moratorium on building. Planning Board member David Robbins pointed out that the longest a town could have a moratorium was 2 years, and that the board could work on a potential bylaw and or changes to existing bylaws and come up with something before the 2-year period expired. All were aware, however, that the issue has some urgency, especially in the public mind accustomed to publicity surrounding data centers. Those centers in the news, Robbins pointed out, were extremely large and unlikely to be an issue for Grafton due to space and location. For town boards, the urgency consists of short time between these discussions and when town boards need to nail down what they want to bring to fall town meeting. By August, the planning board ought to be able to satisfy itself that either, one, we basically don't need to do anything at all in the zoning that we're covered, or two, there's a couple of minor tweaks to zoning and we can be covered, or three, it's going to take more work to really fit this into zoning, so we proposed a moratorium, Robbins said. The following update is from the Grafton Select Board, dated July 11th. As you may have seen on Colleen Roy Grafton Select Board's page, the Select Board was invited to tour the progress of the new UPS facility off Centec Boulevard. Progress is well underway for the almost 900,000 square foot facility, which measures almost a half mile from end to end. The large retaining wall, which you can see from Route 30, contains more than 160,000 retaining bricks, which act more as a facade in front of the geostabilization behind them. At 70 feet tall, it's the largest in Massachusetts. Most of the concrete structures have been poured as the focus begins to shift towards the interior of the build-out. It's a fairly simple space that will handle an enormous number of packages daily. As part of the tax incentive agreement, this facility is set to offer 700 jobs specifically to Grafton residents over the first 5 years of its operation. UPS is also funding upgrades to the intersection at Route 30 on the Grafton side, which are set to include traffic signals as well as upgrades to intersection at the other end at Route 20 in Shrewsbury. The next article is from the Community Advocate, dated July 15, 2026, Town Study Committee could reshape Grafton Common traffic. Grafton's bucolic common is the subject of a new study. The Select Board on July 7th authorized the creation of a Grafton Common Traffic Study Committee. The committee will include one Select Board member, one Planning Board member, and three at-large members: Town Administrator Evan Broussard and Director of Planning Christian D'Amelio will be non-voting members. The committee will review the Grafton Common Traffic and Safety Study completed by Stantec Consulting Services and strategically analyze the study's recommendations, using them as the basis for the development of a strategic plan for change and improvement. The committee will hold at least two public hearings and produce a final report. The 2025 study identified several issues with the traffic pattern around the common, including speed limits that create confusion, obstructed sight lines, and unclear signage. The area surrounded the common sees nearly 9,000 vehicles daily. Stantec proposed several options for changes, including adjusting or eliminating the Route 140 Milbury Street intersection, expanding the common westward to eliminate some of the less traveled roads, thereby limiting confusion and narrowing lanes. Nothing has been decided yet. In an area considered to be Grafton's historic and social core, crashes, injuries, and risks threaten drivers and pedestrian safety and the ability to feel comfortable crossing Route 140, visiting local businesses, or gathering in the common for community events such as the farmers market, the study states. Craig Dofinus will be the Select Board representative on the committee. For me, I live down the street. I'm down there all the time. I know the traffic patterns. I'd be willing to serve on the committee. It's a good project, and the traffic up there is only going to increase, Dofinus said. Added Select Board Andy Jefferson, I'm excited to see what the final report will entail. The next article from the Community Advocate, dated July 11th, 2026, after injury concerns, Grafton High School artificial turf to get much-needed refresh. Grafton, at town meeting on May 11th, Grafton residents voted to expend approximately $750,000 to replace the stadium turf field at Grafton High School, which has been in use since 2012. The field is now several years past its expected lifespan. Throughout the budgeting process, school officials said that the turf was becoming unsafe, potentially leading to injuries. In November 2025, two parents came before the school committee claiming that their son, a sophomore on the football team, suffered a non-contact injury that coaches attributed to the playing surface. The turf has been patched, a process where the granular rubber materials is sucked out, then a glue is applied to the surface, frequently over the years. The field is extremely worn in the center, and it has lost compression, according to district leadership. The district refills the granular rubber material throughout the season, but patching can only do so much. Grafton expected to put bids out in early July when it gained access to the fiscal 2027 capital funds designated for the project. Should the bid not be returned, which wouldn't be alarming, said Superintendent Jay Cummings, considering it's the peak of the summer and among the busiest seasons for outdoor work, the district will spend $10,000 for temporary patches to get through the fall season. Work would then be completed in March, with the field ready for 2027 spring season. When the field is replaced, it will be the latest Grafton athletic field to get an upgrade in 2025. The Grafton High School gymnasium lights were replaced and the floor was professionally refinished. The other turf field away from the stadium recently added a scoreboard. The following announcement, dated July 14th, is from the Grafton Farmers Market Facebook page. Grafton Farmers Market, shop local, eat local, support local. Wednesday, starting at 2 to 6 p.m. on the Grafton Common. There are a number of vendors that will be offering all kinds of goods and services, and the local farmers market and neighbors are invited. Good food, strong farms, strong community. Wednesdays until September from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Grafton Common. That is from the Grafton Recreation Department. Start your day on the right. This fall, foot with our invigorating morning walking group. Join Recreation Department staff and explore some of Grafton's lesser-known gems on foot. These weekly walks at different scenic locations are a fantastic opportunity for adults, families, and their four-legged friends to enjoy the outdoors, socialize, and get some healthy exercise together. This will be held on Tuesdays starting on September 15th through November 17th, starting at 9:30 a.m. For more information, contact the Recreation Department at 508-839-8507. The next announcement from the Grafton Recreation Department, dated July 15th. We are thrilled to announce a historic milestone for our community. In honor of America's 250th birthday, Grafton Recreation will host its first ever fireworks display. This spectacular show will serve as the grand finale to our inaugural Grafton Day event on August 21st. Join us for an unforgettable evening of celebration. Our next announcement from the Grafton Recreation Department, Summer Concert Series 2026 continues on Thursday, July 23rd. Stomp and Holler Country and Classic Rock will be held at Nelson Park starting at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is sponsored by the Grafton Cultural Council, Jackie Crawford Ross, and a number of other local businesses in Grafton. Following is from the Grafton Senior Center located at 30 Providence Road in Grafton. Our announcement includes tech support. Grafton High School students will continue to provide tech support at the Senior Center throughout the summer. The next date will be on Tuesday, July 21st at 2:30 p.m. And then on July 23rd, that's Thursday, at 10 a.m., please join Bagels with the Badge. Join Sergeant Spellman for an engaging discussion on important topics, current initiatives, and community collaboration. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with and ask questions and hear valuable insights firsthand. Once again, that's Bagels with the Badge, Thursday, July 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. at the Grafton Senior Center. Call the Senior Center at 508-839-9242 for more information about these programs and other activities at the Grafton Senior Center at 30 Providence Road in Grafton. Our next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center, free medical van rides for July. Anonymous donor, through the generosity, the Senior Center is able to offer free medical van rides for Grafton residents age 60 and older, as well as those with disability. Contact the Senior Center at 508-839-9242 for more information. Following information, announcements, and articles are for the towns of Millbury and Sutton. The first article comes from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated July 16th. Sutton Town Common, a municipal center, parking improvements under discussion. Repairs, renovations, and replantings on the Sutton Town Common are on the horizon after presentation to the Select Board by Town Manager Austin Saganowitz at the July 7th Select Board meeting. Saganowitz presented a summary of the concerns about the Common and a related issue, the parking for the Municipal Center, and got the nod to continue to investigate funding sources and solutions to the problems at the site. It's not the first time the issue has been discussed by the Select Board. Just a few years ago, the town applied for a state grant to create parking along the town common side of Uxbridge Road opposite the Municipal Center. But in order to make the parking safe and wide enough, the project would take some land from the common. That prospect brought out Historical Society folks to oppose the taking, and the project was shelved. We want to move forward thoughtfully together, Saganowitz said. It's my opinion, just even talking and looking at the project from a few years ago, that the conditions overall the site have continued to deteriorate, and that's why we're back. The main concerns, Saganowitz said, fall into two categories: public safety and aesthetic improvements. Trees on Town Common fall into both categories. Saganowitz said that some trees with dead branches, fallen branches, and roots surfacing pose a hazard to users of the common. An arborist report counted 5 trees that needed to be removed and others that need pruning and monitoring. Of the trees that need to be removed, 1 is among the 4 of the common that are marked with memorial plaques, as they were planted in memory of a Sutton resident. Attendees and board members suggested that the plaque be replaced after the tree has been removed and replaced with a new tree, and that families and friends involved in the memorial dedication be informed. The beech tree that needs removal is suffering from beech leaf disease, a regional issue. Saganowitz said that pruning of the trees that need it has already begun, and he asked the board for guidance on what they would like to do or see done regarding the rest of the trees on the common. A site that is used heavily, particularly in the summer, board members agreed with the arborist's report to remove trees that are a hazard and suggested putting the trees that would be hardier. This, through falling limbs and emerging root, are a hazard. Another adjacent hazard is foot traffic to the common and between the common and the municipal center. Access via a crosswalk that is not ADA compliant is also a problem. Probably most controversial is informal parking along the side of a common that faces a municipal center. There, cars generally pull off the road and onto the edge of the common land. Discussion of all possible options at last week's meeting surmised that more robust curbing and prohibiting parking on the common side of Uxbridge Road was the most acceptable option. Previous discussions of allowing or extending parking onto the common area has brought objections from Historical Society members. But parking in the vicinity would become more of a challenge of parking along the common side of Uxbridge Road were prohibited. Meeting participants discussed the possibility of building more parking for municipal center patrons and for attendees at events on the common, including the possibility of using 16 Uxbridge Road on town land beyond the Schaefer family property. Another issue for the area is the continuing need for repairs to the bandstand, which has deteriorated. The roof, railings, and electrical systems are in need of repair. Saganowicz said that work could possibly be undertaken for just the cost of materials by students at Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School. Support from residents for measures to improve the area was more evident than during previous discussions regarding changes to the common. Thank you for doing this. Thank you all for looking into this whole thing and all these issues before the disasters occur, resident Ross Weaver said. Select Board member Jesse Lemanic suggested that as the project progresses, more public engagement should be pursued. Slides presented at the July 7th Select Board meeting can be found in the Town Projects section of the Town Manager's webpage on the newly redesigned town website. The next article from the online newspaper Mass Live, which is published by the Springfield Republican, headline, Millbury Ice Cream Shop Changes Hands After Owners Retire. A central Massachusetts scoop shop is going under new ownership after the former owners announced their retirement. Christopher's Homemade Ice Cream, located at 22 West Street in Millbury, made the announcement on Facebook back in May. This place has meant so much to us, and we're incredibly grateful for all the support, memories, and friendship we've built along the way, the business wrote. Being part of the community and seeing so many familiar faces year after year has truly been the best part. We love serving you, celebrating special moments with your families, and being a small part of your traditions. The new owners anticipate opening for the season later this spring. Rebranding of the shop as Blackstone Creamery. Christopher's noted they've been working closely with them and will be training the new owners to recreate their homemade ice cream recipes. While it's hard to step away, we feel confident knowing the business is in great hands and the same care, quality, and passion will carry on, the Facebook post reads. Thank you all for being such an important part of this journey. We could not have done it without you. Our next article from the July 8th edition of the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, Millbury resident puts journaling into handcrafted covers. Annie Melman has been journaling in one form or another for many years. A Millbury resident is now giving others a distinctive medium for their own journaling through North Star Journal Company. Like many people, I started with a diary when I was young, but over time, my journaling practice has evolved. I've explored scrapbooking, memory keeping, list-making, and planning. Currently, I especially enjoy commonplace journaling and junk journaling, which allows me to capture everyday moments, ideas, wonders, quotes, and memories in a creative and meaningful way, Melman said. Her journals now boast her handmade covers, I was inspired to start making journal covers after my father passed away. During that time, I returned to journaling more consistently and found it to be an important outlet for reflection and memory keeping. As I searched for notebooks, pens, and accessories, I discovered beautiful traveler's notes covering brands such as Paper Republic in Austria, Travelers Company in Japan, and Louise Carmen in France. While I loved and still do their products, the price point was beyond what I could justify. The curiosity led me to learn about leatherworking, and I began teaching myself how to create handcrafted leather journal covers. What started as a personal project quickly grew into the North Star Journal Company, she said. It is hands-on process, much like journaling. Each journal is handcrafted using genuine vegetable tan leather, which develops a rich patina over time and becomes even more beautiful with use. I also offer select chrome-tanned leather options for customers that prefer a different finish that does not patina, Melman said. The process begins with cutting each piece of leather to size. I then carefully measure and punch the holes needed for the journal's construction using leather tools. Grommets are installed by hand, and the journals are assembled with elastic coating and any customer features selected by the client. Every journal is made individually, allowing me to focus on attention to detail throughout the process, she said. Melman offers the North Star Journal's handcrafted leather journal covers in several standard sizes, including B5, A5, B6, A6, and Passport. These sizes accommodate a variety of journaling styles, from travel journals, sketchbooks, planners for everyday notebooks, and creative journals. They can be personalized for each customer. Personalization is one of my favorite parts of the process. Clients then choose their preferred color, grommet finish, elastic color coating, and decorative charm, allowing each journal to reflect their individual style. Personally, Melman said, most popular journal sizes are A5 and B6. More information about the North Star Journal Company, see their Facebook page. Community News Program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wenske. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal.
This is Bird Note. I'm J. Drew Lanham, an ornithologist, naturalist, and writer. I'm often asked, what's your favorite bird? My standard response is, the one with feathers. Birds deserve more than the disappearing by billions and reducing them to just names on a list. But here's the recent taxonomy of my obsessions, selected birds of the moment, annotated by Y. White-crowned sparrow. Envying the brown ignored thing, all sparrows and BIPOC are top of the list. Loggerhead shrike. Stuck on a raptorial passerine. This bad boy is a songbird that hunts. Bobolink, a.k.a. rice bird. Blackbirds are my birds. History lesson. Rice bird ancestors shared the terror and toil in low country rice fields with enslaved black people. They were persecuted for eating the rice that made the planter class filthy rich so they could enslave even more black people and grow more rice. See the cycle? There you have it. 3 Fave Birds and Why. This list is subject to change and write soon. Stay tuned. I'm J. Drew Lanham.